Good morning, everyone. I'm Lee, one of the ministers here at All Saints. And whether you're a believer or not, I want to thank you for inviting me into your home to share from God's word with you this Good Friday morning. I'd love it if you kept your Bibles open to Luke 23. And I'd also love it if you grabbed a pen, something to write in, because throughout the talk, I'm going to give you time to reflect on a question or something like that. So why don't you go now? I'll give you 20 seconds to go grab a pen, a journal, a notepad, and make sure you've got a Bible. Go. Well, I grew up in a Catholic family, and I went to a Catholic primary school, and so Easter was definitely on the radar. But for me, as a young boy, I didn't really pay much attention to what the Bible said, or when I was at church, Jesus didn't really register much for me. Easter was all about getting together with family. I have great memories of going to Nuna's house and eating lots of pasta and seafood and stuffing myself with chocolates and dessert. That's what Easter was about for me. And just being, you know, with other Italians, with my family. The hugs and the kisses and the loud laughing and talking. The other day I was talking to my Nuna and it dawned on me that Easter wasn't going to happen like that this year, that I wouldn't be seeing her. And I was pretty upset, and she was pretty upset as well. She wouldn't get to see her great-grandchildren, her grandchildren, or her children, and she wouldn't get to cook for everyone and see the joy that brings them. And I know for a lot of you out there that this coronavirus situation has impacted you in much harsher ways than it has for me. But it has made me wonder, what if Easter had never happened? What if Good Friday never happened? Would we just miss out on a really good excuse to get together with friends and family? What if Jesus never died on the cross? What difference would that make? I want to give you 30 seconds now to write something down, to think, maybe talk to the person you're with, if you are with someone. What difference does it make? What if Jesus never died? What if Good Friday never happened? Go for it. Well, Jesus did die. There are no doubts about that. But why is it so significant? Why is it still celebrated? We're going to dive into Luke chapter 23 and have a look. And the first thing that is stressed in Luke's account of Jesus' death, if you are looking at verses 26 to 43, is that in Jesus' darkest hour, he's thinking about others. In this moment of great suffering, his eyes are on us. If you look at verse 26, we hear about this man called Simon from Cyrene, and he's seized and he's told to carry Jesus' cross, and we don't really know why. We can only speculate. But maybe, and this is speculation, but maybe he's been mourning and weeping and wailing with the women, the throng of women who are mourning over Jesus. And it isn't surprising that there are so many women who are grieved by what is happening to Jesus, because he spent so much time with women. He gave them so much respect. And women back then, they were nothing. They were second class, ignored, disrespected citizens. But Jesus had time for them. He loved and he cared for them. And they had a place among his closest friends and followers. It's hard to imagine anything but panic and terror going through Jesus' mind as he is walking to his horrible crucifixion. And yet he turns to these women and he says, "Hey, don't worry about me." He says to them, "Weep for yourselves. For a time is coming when you wouldn't want to even bring children into this world." Verse 30, a time when you will hope that God comes in judgment to end this world. Jesus says, "Don't weep for me. I'm weeping for you. Because I'm about to leave this world, but you have to stay here. And days will come when you hate this world, when you long to be in a better world, when you long for God to end the violence, the bullying, your anxiety, your relationship breakdowns, the diseases, the social isolation." And then in verse 31, he says something kind of strange, and I'd love you to think about what you think it means, what you think Jesus means. He says in verse 31, "For if people do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?" What do you think Jesus means? I'll give you 20 seconds or so now to write down or think about your answer. Go for it. I think what Jesus is saying is if people chop down a perfectly good and healthy tree, then it's only going to be worse for a tree that is dry and in need of extra care and water. And what he's saying is if people cut down the perfect Son of God, then don't worry about me. You know, if you're a woman back then, if you're a child, if you're homeless, you should be worrying about yourself. How much worse is it going to be for vulnerable people, for poor people, if this is how the Son of God is treated? This world won't care for you. Don't put your hope in this world. Don't worry about me. You have a lifetime of worries to think about. I mean, Jesus is being treated like the worst of criminals in this moment. If you look back in your Bibles to chapter 22 and look at verses 63 to 65, Jesus is blindfolded and he's beaten by the soldiers and they ask him, "Who kicked you this time? What about this time? Who kicked you, Jesus?" Jesus is the victim of a sick game of guess who. These soldiers mock him. In verses 36 to 37, gamble for his clothes, verse 34. The crowds join in, verse 35, and the criminals next to him as well, in verse 39. And Jesus' response in verse 34 is, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." All Jesus can think about is others. Good Friday is evidence that God cares. At a time when you go to the shops and everyone is thinking about themselves, when we're all going into self-protection mode and thinking, how are we going to come out of this unscathed? Isn't it comforting? Isn't it so good to know that God cares? There is no other religion where their God or gods care about us. Atheism, the universe doesn't care about us. Coronavirus is just random. But Good Friday reminds us that God cares, that we have a God who is for us, who knows what it's like to feel lonely, to be betrayed, to grieve, to be anxious. We know a God who cares and who empathizes with our struggles. Now, that's all well and good, but it's useless if he can't do anything about it. If he can't do anything to help us, it's great that Jesus can acknowledge that there is something seriously wrong with our world, that he validates our feelings, our yearning for a better world. But can he do anything about it? Can he take us to the perfect world that our hearts yearn for deep down? What do you think? You might want to think about your experiences with God. Maybe God hasn't helped you when you've needed him most. Maybe all you can think about are the times that God has let you down or failed you. Or maybe you felt like God's always been there for you. He's always come through for you. Whatever it is, I want you to think. Write down something. You've got 30 seconds to think about. Can Jesus do anything to help? Can he do anything about this broken world and our fragile lives? Go for it. Well, perhaps unsurprisingly, the answer is yes. He does care, and he can save. And I'm not basing this on my own experiences. I'm basing this on Jesus' death. Three times people yell at Jesus, "Save yourself." The irony is he could have easily. He could have hopped down from the cross. But by not saving himself, by thinking of others, he's actually offering salvation to everyone, to you and me. And in this passage, we see what kind of salvation Jesus offers, what salvation you and I really need. He doesn't promise to rescue us from all the troubles that we'll face in this life. He's already said we'll have days when we wish we were woken from this nightmare. Jesus didn't die to put an end to coronavirus. He died to achieve something so much more profound: eternal forgiveness. He says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." The soldiers knew what they were doing. They knew their jobs. They knew how to crucify someone, but they didn't get the gravity of who Jesus was and what they were doing to him. And that so describes you and me. We know what we're doing when we yell at our kids, when we drink too much, when we look at porn, when we run a red light, when we put ourselves before others, when we're selfish, when we ignore God. We know what we're doing, but what we don't get is the weight and the gravity of our sin, and that Jesus had to die for us. You know, I've often thought that for me, you know, like I'm a pretty good guy, I don't know, did Jesus really need to die for me? Maybe beaten up a little bit, maybe carry his cross halfway up the hill? And sure, there are people in the world who Jesus definitely had to die for, the really bad people, but surely not for me. But he did. He had to go to the cross for me. Even if I was the only sinner in this world, which I'm not, but if I was, he would have still had to die on the cross to forgive me. And if you were the only sinner, the same would be true for you. We struggle to comprehend the depth of our sin, the extent to which we've rejected and hurt God. But the truth is, Jesus had to go to the cross for us. Now, we know from other accounts that the both criminals, either side of Jesus, hurled their insults at him. But Luke records that the second criminal, right at the end, he gets it. He gets his sin. And in this moment, if you look at verse 40, he gets that he should fear God even more than death, because when he dies, he's going to have to face God as a sinner. And verse 42, he turns to Jesus and he begs him, "Jesus, remember me." It's pretty upsetting when people forget us, not just forget our name, but just forget who we are. Don't you remember me? No. It's not nice when people forget who we are, when they forget our birthday, when they forget to ask how we're going. Jesus doesn't forget. Jesus promises to remember you. He will never forget you if you ask him into your life. And truly, you'll be with him in paradise. You'll be taken to the perfect world that your heart longs for deep down. His death, his forgiveness, it tore the temple curtain in two. Look at verse 45. It opens wide and permanently a relationship with God. Good Friday is evidence that God really cares and is your chance to accept his forgiveness. Without Jesus' death, we face him with our sins piled high. And we can be certain that if that's the case, we will spend eternity terribly far from him. But if we accept Jesus' death, our sins are all gone, completely wiped clear, and we can be confident that we'll face an eternity in paradise with God. So have you turned to Jesus for forgiveness? Well, as Jesus dies, nighttime, darkness engulfs the midday sun as God's judgment for our sin engulfs God's Son. And after suffering for all our sin on the cross, he calls out for all to hear that he is in the safety of his Father's hands, and he breathes his last breath. And then verse 47, the centurion, the soldier overseeing Jesus' crucifixion, of all people, seeing what happened, he praises God, declaring Jesus to be the righteous Son of God he claimed to be. It's astonishing that the man who led the soldiers that day, who would have approved of their guess who hit Jesus game, their gambling of Jesus' clothes, their violence, their mocking, it's incredible that it's him, along with the criminal next to Jesus, who sees Jesus for who he really is. And he praises God. He's saved. This centurion is a seasoned soldier. This guy would have seen countless crucifixions, but he'd never seen one like this. What was it that made him call out praises to God? Was it Jesus' innocence? Was it Jesus' concern for others in his moment of suffering? Was it the midday darkness? Was it the calm trust in God as Jesus chose when to breathe his last breath? Probably it was all those things. He'd thought he'd seen it all until that day. And Jesus' death turned his world upside down. What does Jesus' death mean to you? There was an array of responses the day that Jesus died, as there is today. But what does his death mean to you? I'm going to give you 30 seconds again to think, to reflect, to write something down, to chat with someone, if you are with someone, and reflect on the significance of Jesus' death. Go for it. How have you responded? Look, if there aren't people in your home to share what you think about this, what this day means to you, then give a friend a call. Give your small group leader a call. Call myself or one of the other ministry staff here. We'd love to chat with you after the service. Because if there was no Good Friday, if Jesus never died, then we wouldn't just be missing out on an excuse to get together. We wouldn't have any hope. But Jesus did die. He gives us hope of a better world, a perfect world. Good Friday happened. It means God really cares and is offering you full forgiveness, salvation, an eternal relationship with him in paradise for all eternity. That is good news. How about I pray for you? Heavenly Father, at this time we've been shown how much we take for granted. And I think Good Friday and this Easter weekend is another one of those things that we often take for granted. But God, I pray that we wouldn't. I pray that we would see the hope that Jesus has secured for us, the forgiveness, that we would rejoice, that we would praise you, that we would be filled with hope at this dark time. And I pray this in your Son's name. Amen.